With Montana News, I'm Matt Blois. A pilot program to help protect the Flathead Basin from invasive aquatic mussels faces funding problems. The Flathead Basin Commission was authorized to do the work with funding from a boat sticker. However, attorneys for the Department of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks say legislation that created the program doesn't give the agency the authority to write rules requiring boat owners to purchase the stickers. Operations Chief Mike Valesky said the bill does not say the stickers are mandatory or include penalties for failing to buy them. Separately, the Department of Natural Resources and Conservation has suggested cutting the nearly $150,000 budget for the Flathead Basin Commission as part of cuts needed to balance the budget. The pilot program planned to add more boat certification stations along with automated inspection and detection devices. A federal court is recommending dismissal of a civil complaint filed on behalf of more than two dozen homeless residents of a northwestern Montana Indian reservation in 2013 to prevent them from panhandling during a rodeo weekend. A U.S. magistrate judge granted an attorney's motion to withdraw after he reported being unable to contact the lead plaintiff. An energy company is seeking federal approval to build a pipeline in eastern Montana that would transport the greenhouse gas carbon dioxide for use in oil production along the North Dakota border. A spokesman for Denbury Resources said the $150 million pipeline would begin near the Wyoming border and stretch 110 miles. The Bureau of Land Management is seeking public comment on the proposal through November 3rd. A special legislative session may be the only way for Montana to fix its budget, wrecked by an overprojection of incoming revenue and an expensive fire season, according to conservative leaders in the House and Senate. Corin Cates Carney reports.
A $200 million hole sits between Governor Steve Bullock and the state requirement of a balanced budget. The budget passed by lawmakers and signed by the governor this spring was blown up by firefighting costs running tens of millions of dollars over budget, in a $282 million assumption error in how much revenue would come into the state. Bullock has the power to cut his way out of a budget deficit, but he'll need legislators to approve other solutions to fix the shortfall. Republican Speaker Pro Tem Greg Hertz from Polson says his party is preparing to come back to Helena.
Well, I don't think anybody in the legislature wants to come back for a special session. But, you know, in order to fix the fire fund, they're only options. I think most legislators realize that.
Last week, Republican and Democratic lawmakers in the Legislative Finance Committee unanimously voted in favor of sending a letter to Governor Bullock. They urged him to reconsider some of the proposed 10% cuts to state agencies under review by the executive in order to balance the budget. The letter said the governor's current proposal would harm some of the most vulnerable people in the state, although it did not give specific recommendations for how the governor might avoid making those cuts. Senate Republican Majority Leader Fred Thomas from Stevensville says it's the governor's responsibility to manage cuts to state government.
This is his job, not ours.
Thomas adds lawmakers may need to step in and help if cuts aren't enough to fix the state's budget crisis and refill the state's firefighting fund. Thomas says there isn't a plan yet for where that money will come from, but Republicans will resist tax increases, which Democrats are advocating for. Governor Bullock says he's speaking with lawmakers about how to move forward, but has yet to announce if or when a special session could be held. The last special session was called in 2007 by then-Governor Brian Switzer for the purpose of transferring money to pay for firefighting. State law allows a special session to be called by the governor or through a vote by lawmakers, but at this point, legislators are waiting for Bullock to make the next move. I'm Corin Cates Carney, Montana Public Radio.
A Canadian company wants to build what would be Montana's largest slaughterhouse and meat processing plant on the outskirts of Great Falls. Alberta-based Frisian Foods has filed a special use permit application with Cascade County for the proposed Madison Food Park, which could employ up to 3,000 people. The company says the plant would be used for cattle, pigs, and chickens. The complex would also process milk and include a distillery. It would use about 3.5 million gallons of water a day. The company says that most of the animal waste created would be turned into methane gas to power turbines. The public, along with a number of federal agencies, must weigh in on the proposal before a decision is made on the permit. A $650,000 grant will help coordinate efforts to guide Montana high school students to graduate while developing career interests and preparing for college or an apprenticeship. The Office of the Commissioner of Higher Education announced the four-year grant Monday from the Dennis and Phyllis Washington Foundation to create the I Graduate Montana program. The grant money will help the Commissioner's Office, along with the Office of Public Instruction, high schools, and the Department of Labor and Industry coordinate the use of $36.4 million in federal grants over the next 4 years. Deputy Commissioner John Seck says the programs include free ACT tests for high school juniors, help identifying career interests, encouraging students to take dual credit courses, and graduate from high school. Students also receive help enrolling in college or finding an apprenticeship. Montana's lone congressman, Greg Gianforte, has clarified his stance on modifying weapons with so-called bump stocks. Yellowstone Public Radio's Nate Hedgie explains.
A bump stock modification allows a semi-automatic rifle to mimic a machine gun, and it's what shooter Stephen Paddock used to kill 58 people and wound nearly 500 in Las Vegas on October 1st. But last Wednesday, Republican Gianforte said in a written statement, quote, "Stricter laws against guns would not have prevented this," end quote. On Monday morning, the congressman clarified his stance.
Automatic weapons are currently regulated. If these bump stocks turn semi-automatics into automatics, we ought to look at what appropriate rules ought to be in place.
The National Rifle Association has also called for additional regulations on bump stock modifications. Gianforte has received more than $250,000 from the powerful gun lobby, making him the fifth most NRA-funded member in the U.S. House. When asked whether campaign contributions from the NRA will influence his votes on gun control,
I can't be bought. You know, I'm my own person. I'm going to represent Montana.
Montana's two senators have said they are open to considering regulations on bump stocks. In Bozeman, I'm Nate Hedgie, YPR News.
No contamination has been found in the water on the Crow Indian Reservation after a water treatment plant and Crow agency was vandalized. Tribal Chairman A.J. Not Afraid declared a state of emergency last Wednesday after workers discovered the destruction at the plant, including shots fired at equipment and fire damage. Bottled water was delivered to residents as tests were conducted. The tribe announced Friday that no signs of contamination were found. Some water mains connected to the plant were flushed as a precaution. The Northern Cheyenne Tribal Council has voted to oust the tribal president for reportedly neglecting his duties and violating tribal bylaws. President Jace Kilsback says he plans to stay in office because a tribal court ruled Thursday that the complaint against him was not sworn under oath and not specific. The complaint was amended Thursday, but Kilsback said he did not have enough time to respond to the allegation before the vote Friday morning. I'm Matt Blois, Montana Public Radio.